did the commission expect this much resistance?
Yes and no. As Dan Rich, the staff director for the commission, told me, if this was easy, it would have been done by now. Fair enough. This is proving not to be easy. I'm sure that the commission would have liked to have had a much smoother start than the process has had thus far. It's obviously going to be a long and bumpy road with many hurdles, many potholes to get through, and I don't think anybody has a really good idea at this point when or where it will end.
One issue that seems to be causing pause with lawmakers is about how much they are actually signing off on this resolution. Sponsors have amended it to address that concern, correct?
Yes, that's true. You've got to realize the commission's report is a big report. They put it out in printed form last week, and it was a 217-page book, plus a bunch of appendices that weren't even included in this. So the lawmakers want to know, they want to have a better understanding of what they're approving, and in terms of how the resolution is worded, they want to make sure that everyone realizes that they are not committing to supporting the entire plan, that they're not endorsing all of the proposals in this 217-page book, but rather that their approval is limited to approving the concept of redistricting as it involves the city portion of the Christina School District being moved over into Red Clay, and an understanding with regard to the financial commitment or lack thereof that would be part of this as well.
And I was going to say the funding is also addressed in this amendment. So what are they saying about the funding piece of this going forward as far as the resolution is concerned?
Well, with the resolution, they modified the phrasing yesterday, and the wording now states that support is conditioned, this is a quote, is conditioned upon the allocation of necessary and sufficient funding. And they added another little proviso to that, the saying that nothing in the resolution would obligate the General Assembly to take any actions, quote, with respect to financing, property reassessment, or taxation. So what's happening here is that at least as the resolution sits with the Education Committee, they're endorsing the concept of redistricting, but they're making no substantial commitment with regard to funding. Now, and funding has to be dealt with on a separate track through the Joint Finance Committee, but the legislators on the Education Committee are making clear that the voice of the General Assembly here is we're not going to be put on the hook or held accountable for what does or does not happen with regard to funding this plan.
Should that be enough to pass it? What is the commission saying about what the price tag looks like right now? How much money are we talking about to get this done, according to the commission right now?
Okay, first of all, whether these changes are enough to pass it, not quite sure. Again, going back to the committee meeting yesterday, the Republicans walked out of the meeting, and the eight Democrats that remained voted to send the resolution out of committee to the House floor, but in a very peculiar way. Only two of the eight votes that were needed, two of the eight representatives on the committee, said that they were in favor looked favorably on the resolution. Two of them voted it out with an unfavorable comment, and four voted it out on its merits, which means they think this is an important enough issue for the full House to vote on, but they're not committing themselves one way or the other. So in that context, you know, there's hardly resounding support for the measure. In terms of the finance and the wording here, is that going to be enough to get the legislators to pass it? Not sure. Is it going to be, is the wording going to be satisfactory to the commission? I think so, but only because the legal situation is that the resolution by law passed last year has to be approved by June 30th. there's no such requirement with regard to the funding. That could be held up for a number of reasons, but that wouldn't necessarily stop the plan from being approved. It does impact its implementation.
How about the price tag, though? What are we looking at there?
We're looking at a minimum of $9 million, according to the commission. This would be to provide supplemental targeted programming for at-risk children, low-income English language learners, and start. $9 million would cover the city portion of Christina and the Red Clay District for next year. Commission would like to take it up to $15 million, and so would some members of the General Assembly, so that both a district in Kent County and a district in Sussex County could also benefit from these targeted programs at the start. There are estimates ranging as high as $50 million for implementing this sort of program statewide. And by the way, virtually every other state in the country, and certainly all of those in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic, have programs like these. Everybody but Delaware does, and the states that do have these targeted programs generally show better outcomes on their assessment measures for how their schools are performing.
Well, one thing you mentioned was the lawmakers outside of the city of Wilmington basically saying, what about our students? And WEAC, as you said, is talking about these funds for other districts in Kent and Sussex. But at that point, does the price tag become unrealistically high? Governor Markell only proposed $6 million this year in his budget for this whole thing. We were talking 9, 15, or even more in what we're hearing now.
Well, from what I'm hearing, 9 is not out of the question. There's always a way for the General Assembly to find $4 or $5 million more anyway, as they work through and the Joint Finance Committee works through and fine tunes the budget. They might even find a way to get up to the $15 million that would provide the piloting these targeted programs in a single district in Kent and Sussex. Going beyond that, certainly not this year, but then this brings up part of what we were talking about earlier. Is the program sustainable? What happens if we don't have the money to do this year after year? Does it get cut back? And there you go, right back to the language in the amended resolution where the General Assembly is saying we don't want to be held on the hook for making any commitments in a financial sense if the money's not there.
And finally, we are, to a certain degree, fighting the clock on this whole issue, not only to get the resolution passed as required by June 30th, but again, to the funding piece of it, there's a timetable on that too, correct?
Right. Now, again, with Dan Rich, who's the, as I said, the staff director of the commission, he points out that essentially we've got two legislative actions moving more or less on parallel tracks. They don't necessarily have to be synchronized. The one, of course, is the resolution with the June 30th deadline for passage. The other is the funding piece, which is part of the budgeting process with the Joint Finance Committee. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I might have thought that, and Rich might have thought that, well, the resolution might get passed, maybe by the end of May, early June, and then the funding comes towards the end of the year, towards the end of the legislative session, June 30th. Now I'm starting to think that maybe we're going to be at a point where the resolution doesn't get passed until the end of the year, and who knows, the funding might get hung up for another year, 2 years even. There's language in the plan that says that the committee, the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission, can hold up on and suspend implementation of the plan if the money's not there, but they can only do that through June of 2018. So, this thing could play out. The drama, the theatrics, as it might be, could extend for another couple of years. And I do have one thought on what it might take to make this happen.
And that would be?
Well, I think that if you look at the list of organizations that support the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission plan. You've got groups like the State Chamber of Commerce, the Business Roundtable, the Rodell Foundation, the University of Delaware, United Way. They're all behind this plan in one way or another. But right now, that support is, in many respects, largely on paper. What we need here, and this is something that would have happened, you know, 30, 40 years ago in Delaware, is for the guys from the Chamber of Commerce, for the business leaders to go down to Dover and say, you guys got to pass this plan because we really need this to make the city of Wilmington and its education system what it has to be for this state to continue to move forward. When these guys decide that they're going to step out and say something publicly rather than merely have their names on paper, then maybe something's going to get done.